You guys have some physical and mental and spiritual strength here. You guys ready?
Yes.
You're not ready to go home yet, I hope. Okay? So I just want to encourage you. The words to the songs and things that have been said go with the message. The message today is about be strong and of good courage. And I think that because of the things that we see happening in the world, especially now, we really can get overwhelmed with all those things, let alone all the personal things that we have to deal with in this life. And the world is impinging, coming in, affecting our personal lives more and more. And along and mixed in with all of that is the fact that we are coming closer to an end of an age. And I know that people tend to not want to, you know, squirm with that or don't want to think about it. But I think that God wants to remind us about this. I want to read a scripture. I'm not going to open the Bible. I wrote it out on my paper here. It's Isaiah 46. It's verses 8 to 10. And this is what it says. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God is in control. And you know, we have to think about that when things seem out of control, right? In our lives. And all of the songs were about strength and trust, and this is just a reminder. This is who He is. He is our refuge. He is our strength. Amen?
Yes.
And, you know, as much as I think I know that fact, I need to be reminded of that in the times when I really need it, right? And lots of times our heads are spinning because of situations that are going on in our life. And it takes a while before we remember and make that connection and put our trust in Him and find our refuge in Him. But this is where it's at, and I'm sorry to have to say this. It's not going to get any better in this world. It isn't going to get any better in terms of what is out there coming in at us. Now, you and I can learn how to handle all of this better so that we are living in peace when there's turmoil all around. And I'm not talking about the grand things that are happening at the end of the world, although I am talking about that at some point during this message. But we need to be a people of peace and reflection and trust and finding that strength that's only coming from one place. And that's Jesus Himself. Isn't that true? And the enemy, and all of these things have already been said. The enemy knows how to touch buttons in our life. And he keeps us on the edge. He brings us toward fear. He overwhelms us. He gets us angry. He gets our heads looking in the wrong direction. He gets us so that we become so focused on ourselves that we don't see a bigger picture of what's going on. Isn't that true? And so God, lots of times, through messages, through incidents that happen in our lives, brings us back so that we remember who He is and that He is always there for us. He is our refuge. He is our strength. If we're going to be strong and of good courage, it's only happening one way. It's not our strength. It's not our courage. It's His. Amen? And learning through the processes of this life and all the things that happen to us, whether it's in a physical level or mental level or spiritual level, this is where we're going to grow. And this is why God says here at the beginning of this verse, show yourselves men. Show yourselves like men. There's going to be another scripture I'm going to go to here in a minute in the New Testament that says the exact same thing. And that whole thing means you act grown up. You're not a child. Show your act like a man. Face things, the reality of this world, the things you have to go through as a person, and the things that are coming beyond that. If we have problems with the things that are happening in times of peace, what's it going to be like when there's something greater than that going on? Now, I'm going to be talking about the fact that if we are coming down to the end of the age, I think everybody in a mentally says, "Oh yeah, we are." But I want to talk about a few things here. There's a man named Daniel Gruber who wrote a book called The Messianic Writings, and he says this, and this was in reference to this particular scripture, and this is why I chose this. Because he's talking about telling the end from the beginning, right? He says this, "The time between us and the beginning is continually increasing." That's we're getting further away from when things first began, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But the time between us and the end is continually decreasing. There is an eventuality where the things that are written in the Holy Scripture are going to be happening on a much greater level and a much greater way. And you know, this time that we talk about, that we reflect on and run away from a lot, is the fact that Jesus is coming back. Oh, there's going to be a time. It isn't just something we say and expect that it's not going to happen in our lifetime. Every single generation has hoped, and I hope it's your hope, that Jesus returns.
Amen.
And saves us from the junk that's in this world.
Amen.
I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. This goes along as well with Isaiah 46. Romans 13. God likes to tell us things. He likes to let us know ahead of time. Why? So what? So we can be prepared. There's something that is going on, and we need to see there's something more that's happening that's going to be coming in on us in a greater way. We've got some crying out to God to do, to be able to handle the greater thing. You think you and I think we have enough to handle right now?
Yes.
I'll bet you every person here says, "Yeah, I got enough going on in my life. I don't need anything else." And then, were you going to be upset with God when things get worse? God, how can you do this to me? It's the times we're in, isn't it? And we have to grow up like men, and grown women, and grown men. We have to understand things don't go our way. We can't just say, "Now stop it," and everything stops, so that everything goes the way we want it to. And we have to be mature people, not for ourselves, because there is a world out there that's becoming more me-focused. Yeah? There's a world out there that is in darkness, fearful, lost, and needs people that have peace in a troubled world. Our examples of walking through tragedy, adversity, all the different kinds of problems. And there's myriads of problems, aren't there, that any of us have faced. What we go through right now is not for ourselves. Well, it is partly for ourselves, but there's something greater that God is doing in you and I. I hope you realize that. And every single person in this room has something to give to the rest of us. Oh yeah. I haven't lived through some things that others of you have. And it's important that we know each other in a better way. Mm-hmm. And that we're with each other and we're supporting one another. And we carry one another's burdens. And these things are happening in this little body. And I want to encourage us that we never let that go. That we're always looking out for our brothers and sisters. And not so concerned about ourselves.
Did I even read Romans 13 yet? Okay, Romans 13, starting in verse 11, says this. And that, knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. Oh, this world has wooed much of the church to sleep. Oh, we're sleepy. We really are. There's a lot more going on than trying to be prepared for my class this coming Thursday. I think there's more going on that I need to be aware of. Yeah? Mm-hmm. The prayers that I need to be more cognizant of the people in this church. What's going on with our families?
We need to be more awake. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. It's all through the New Testament. There's coming a point in time where Jesus is coming back and we're going to stand before the Lord Christ. We're going to see Him face to face. Fantastic, right? I hope you're excited enough about that. Just contemplating that. Like you're going to be tonight around 6:30. And for those who don't know what I'm talking about, there's a Super Bowl tonight. And boy, I'll tell you what, when it comes to sports, maybe Steve is a little better, more into it than me. But when it comes to sports and Patriots football, I'm one of those big fans. But I'll tell you what. That's right, the Patriots. But my level and your level of interest, excitement, intensity, passion better be on a level for Jesus that supersedes that. And it should, right?
Yes.
I pray to God that when we come in here, that the things of our life, the burdens, the cares, the concerns that we have, that we can, yes, share those, but don't bring them in and have it as a weight on us so that we miss out on what God wants to do among us. Because you know what? When you're burdened down and you don't share that, you don't get prayer for something that's going on. That really is a weight on your spiritual body, isn't it?
Yes.
You can't worship the way you need to. You can't hear God when your head's going around on something that's on a very personal level for you. Isn't that right?
Right.
And if we're going to be people of strength, we do have to be people that learn to trust greater, right? We need to be people that are looking out beyond ourselves and have a purpose that's higher than just getting through this life.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So he says here in verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Because somebody needs to see that. The people in the dark need to see the light, don't they?
Yes.
And if we like our pet little sins, and we're not really falling on our face, looking to see those petty areas, areas of anger or unforgiveness or whatever it might be that maybe lots of people can't see, but you know is in you, and you just say, "Well, that's who I am." I pray to God that you get out of that, that you see it for what it is. It's darkness. It keeps you and I from a deeper relationship with God. And I'll tell you what, our relationship with God has to continue to grow in the times that we're in and the times that are out in front of us. Because it's getting worse, folks. And that isn't there to scare you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says we're going to have to face here. And that's going to require us being prepared in our hearts for what lies ahead. Do we even know what lies ahead?
Let me just tell you some things. This is not to scare.
I'm going to say it. You're getting the bad first. But there's a good, okay, that I'm saving for the end.
All right. Okay. So, I'm just going to give you this reference, and you can look it up yourself. It's 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. And these are things that we, at the end of an age, in preparing for the coming of the Lord, really need to be and have in us. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says this: "Be on watch, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." God is saying this to us. He's reminding us that He is going to be the source of that, that we can have that if we listen, if we're reminded and we do put our trust in Him. Every single person in here, I think, has at least a modicum of understanding of what the Bible says and who God is. But there's nobody in here, none of us, knows God so well that we shouldn't be seeking Him more and more. Right? I wrote down here that, we can't ignore reality. We can put a cocoon around
around ourselves. But there is more that's going to be going on. Do you realize that in India, in the country of India right now, that they have a chip program where everybody is buying and selling only if they have that chip? Oh, wow. Well, that sounds familiar. There's something about, in Bible prophecy, there's something about how that's going to happen all around the world. And it's already started. Oh, man. Maybe we're closer along. Maybe the time frame is a little closer. Maybe we need to think a little bit beyond ourselves to the things that are going on in this world, that we might be ready when he does come. Do you want to say something?
News the other day, Russia and America are going to stop their... I don't know if you'd call it a treaty, but we're going back into the Cold War.
There's all kinds of international things that are going on. What's going on in the United States? I'll bet you that most of us really don't know all the crazy stuff that's going on in this country. I'm sure that some people do, but yeah, go ahead.
State of Arkansas has just implemented a microchip for those people that are being working.
Who would want to do that? Yeah. What did Colorado just do?
Oh my gosh.
What was that?
They wanted to get rid of the Electoral College.
Oh, they wanted to get rid of the Electoral College.
No, you know what they did?
What?
They did get rid of it in a roundabout way, because what they did is now their vote is going to go, they voted this in, their vote is going to go to the popular vote.
Their vote's going to the popular vote in the whole country?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, the scripture is real clear. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. On a personal level, on a national level, and an international, global level. Anything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. This is part of the bad news. Here's something else as we face this reality. The day of the Lord is a day of gloominess and darkness.
Well, how can that be? Well, we're not even going to be around for that.
Really? The day of the Lord is perilous times, times of stress. Well, it's always been stress in the world. Well, boy, what does that mean when they ascribe that description to this time of the end? It must be really stressful. Haven't you noticed that? It's a time of sorrows. Specifically, there's been sorrow from the beginning of the world. So, for Jesus to call this time that preludes his coming as a time of sorrows must really mean something here. These are ominous things that are standing and that we're going to be facing on top of the other things of our life, and we've got to be people who are strong. Who can be of good courage. And that's only happening. That is only happening if we truly are developing a deeper relationship with Jesus. It's like that song. If it's not for Jesus, boy, we can say all we want. We can pretend that we're just a strong Christian, but if we're not developing a real deeper relationship as days go by, you're fooling yourself. I'm fooling myself, and I'm not going to have the strength that I need when it's called upon. It isn't just going to be magic wanded to us. That comes through relationship.
Eric. There's something in 1 Corinthians 28:20. It says, David said to Solomon,
his son, be strong and of good courage and act. Fear not, or nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. Be with thee, and he will not fail thee or forsake thee until thou hast finished the work of the service of the house of the Lord.
Amen. And we find these examples. I'm going to go to another one in Joshua, where God continually is saying, hey, look, be strong. Be of good courage. It's going to happen when we're actually making that connection with the Lord himself. It can't just be some abstract thought. It can't just be a scripture that we know is out there. But that we are developing that relationship with God, we've connected with it. We really, truly believe it in a greater way. We're not playing church. This isn't playing. This isn't just people that are getting together to pat each other on the back. I mean, it is that, but it's way more than that. We should be here to help one another out, pat one another on the back. But we have to act like men. We have to understand, all of us, every single person in this room needs to be strong and of good courage, whatever you're facing. Amen? This is not a namby-pamby little word to, you know, pat you on the little hiney and send you out the door. You and I are in a real world that's full of evil. We have an enemy that wants to devour us. Rip our heads apart. Get us so discouraged and unsettled that he has you. This is dirty. God wants us to act like men. He wants us to be strong. Yeah. We're supposed to have peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He wants us to be kind. We can do all of that, but we can walk and chew gum. We can be kind, but boy, I pray to God that you're ruthless, that you hate evil like the scripture tells you to be. Right?
Yes.
This, you and I are supposed to hate evil. And I think the church has just kind of wrapped themselves around one aspect of God, and it's all about love, and it's all about peace, and don't hurt anybody's feelings. And the Lord's just really been sticking me about some of this stuff. The church has backed off in a lot of areas.
Where we should stand. That the abortion thing is just driving Kathy and I crazy.
This nuts stuff that's going on in New York and Virginia. This is the country we live in, and these things are happening. We as a church, as a group of people, as individuals, and as a church, whatever way we can, we need to begin to stand up against evil.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I know, church isn't supposed to get involved with politics. Politics is getting involved with the church.
It's not supposed to.
Okay, turn to Luke chapter 17. I will try to, in the best way that I can, streamline what I have here. As the Spirit leads me. Luke chapter 17. Okay. So I'm going to start in... he's talking about the coming of the Lord. And this is about... As, you know that as it was in the days of Noah,
and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of God. You guys know that, right? Just like it was. I'm not going to read the scripture. I'm just going to talk about it. So what do we know about the days of Noah and the days of Lot? Tell me some things that you know. What was going on? What does this, how does the scripture describe that?
So it was a time of peace and safety.
Yeah, it seemed like everything was wonderful. People were marrying and giving and being given in marriage. Everything seemed, by that casual, here's the clue here, by the casual looker, things are just the way they've always been. There's no real depth of looking at what's going on behind the scenes, how the character of man is getting worse and worse. You know that? So from the casual looker, hey, come on. Things, you know, we go in little ebbs and everything's going to work out. In a few years, things will be back to normal again. That's what a lot of people think. That's how they talk themselves into being asleep about what's really going on. So that's one thing. Anything else? Anything else that you know?
Well,
you know what?
Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know what that means. So.
Yeah, so there was perversion. This big spread of perversion. Okay? Anything else? You know what it says in both of those accounts? And you go back into the book of Genesis and you look at in the New Testament, it was a time of great corruption and violence. Now this is as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days prior to the coming of the Son of Man. How does that work? I hope that informs us a little bit about what to expect to start happening in a greater way. And to really be ready for some of these things.
Oh, I'd really depress you with this scripture, so.
We haven't got there yet. All right, I'll just reference it. It's Isaiah chapter 24. It's verses 3 and 5, 3 to 5, and then verses 17 to 18. I'm going to jump down to the 17 to 18 part. It says in there, terror, pit, and snare await you, O inhabitant of the earth. That's not so wonderful, is it? I'm getting ready for the good stuff. That seems pretty overwhelming. That seems like, hey, we are trapped. We're in a snare. We can't, anybody have a rocket ship that we could go to some other planet while all this stuff plays itself out here? No, we're, yeah, maybe you do. We're here. We're stuck. There's no place to go. This is what I always respected about our Navy people that were on a ship and they're fighting the enemy and they're on a ship. Where can they go? You know, armies can at least retreat if they have to. You have a place to maneuver. It's a little more difficult on a ship. You know, so we have nowhere to go. There's not going to be really anywhere to go. So now. Now that I've thrown all this junk at you, I want to just remind you of a few things, which I know you already know, and this is what God wants us to get out of this, is the fact that, you know, we're going to be in a situation, but He's always going to be there for us. He's always going to be there for us. Get it?
interesting in the, with Noah, that he heard from God, and he listened. And he built that ark, and he was ridiculed, and there was people always around him.
Yeah.
Mocking him.
Yeah.
They were all living without God, and not seeing anything, not taking the warnings. And he tried to warn people.
Yes.
And all they had to do was repent and be prepared. But no, they did. We heard from God. And again, if that's a reflection of then to now, isn't that something we should be looking at? Is that we need to hear from God? Open our ears, our eyes, and take action.
Yes. Absolutely.
But most people don't want to hear it.
No, they don't. Now,
I'm gonna just read you what it says in Joshua. Now we're gonna start to get into the good stuff. You got the energy, right? Your brains aren't, you know, when's he gonna finish? You're with me, right? All right. So, Book of Joshua, chapter 1. Okay, verses 6, 7, and 9. Notice what he says here. He's talking to Joshua. Joshua needs to bring the people of Israel into the promised land. Take this any way you want. Okay? But there is application to us. And it says this in verse 6. God is talking to Joshua, and he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people you will divide for an inheritance the land, which I have sworn unto their fathers to give them." There's lots of promises out there that we are going to inherit from God, isn't there?
Yes.
But it isn't handed on a silver platter. Most of what we have that happens with us is there's struggle, there's suffering, there's commitment, there's things on our part that is required for us so it's meaningful to us. And we have to be like men. We have to be strong. We have to not be whining, complaining, avoiding what God has set before us. Amen? We've got to come to this because it's coming. The affairs of this world, the situations of this world are coming at us whether we want them to or not. So let's be ready for it. Okay. So, here's the, and it keeps, in verse 7, he says, only be strong and courageous. In verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. And three times he says the exact same words within several verses. That's amazing when there's a repetition in the Bible over a chapter of Scripture. And here, within a few verses, God is saying, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. What's God saying to you today on a personal, right now, daily level? What do we need to be strong and of good courage about? What are you facing today that you need to be strong and of good courage? You would know, wouldn't you?
Right in there, he also says, don't turn to the left or to the right. Stay on the straight and narrow.
Right. Don't turn to the left or right. Keep yourself in the Word, in the law.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I said everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Here's the rest of the verse in Hebrews. But, there's a but here. But we receive a kingdom that can't be changed.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, yeah. Right? All God's
doing. I have the how God ends it for us who believe, who trust, who commit to the Lord. So, yeah, everything in this world that can be shaken is going to be shaken. But we receive a kingdom that can't be shaken. And therefore, we need to entrust ourselves to God. He is a consuming fire. He's a God of love, and He's a consuming fire. Isn't that right? As far as perilous times, time of sorrows, God is our refuge. God is our
strength.
Our very present help in trouble. Something that He's our strong tower. I think that Melinda was praying that. I'm going, oh yeah. He's our strong tower. You and I know this. But God today is reminding us with this message, with the words of the songs that we sang, with the prayers that have been generated out from the Spirit of God through the different people that prayed different things that were dealing with this very subject. God is for us. Who can be against us? Does that mean that there's no casualties in a war? We all win at the end, but there could be casualties, right? And though He slay me, yet will I serve Him. Isn't that right? I hope that's your attitude. Because that's being a big boy attitude. That's acting like men. Strong and of good courage. Whatever, if you've called me to martyrdom, then that's where I'm going. If you've called me to walk all the way through whatever all of this going on in this world, then I'm ready to do that too, Lord. In fact, I want you to turn right now to Luke again and go to chapter 21. Oops. Luke 21. All right, Luke 21, he's talking about Jesus is speaking, and he's talking about the time prior to his, just prior to his coming, and he says this in verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with, what's that word? I can't read my glasses. I need new glasses. Surfeiting, whatever that means.
Carousing.
And drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day comes upon you unawares. For as a snare, what's a snare?
A
trap. And you know what? It comes fast, doesn't it? Doesn't the snare just wrap right around your leg or your neck or wherever the thing is set for, and it's fast. And when once that closes, it's all over. The best thing is that you don't walk into it, that you're aware of what's going on in this life. And it says here in verse 35, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That sounds pretty sad. That sounds, again, pretty bad. But then listen again at our gracious God of refuge and strength. This is what He says. Watch therefore. Oh, if there's a snare, God doesn't take us out of the world. He says, watch. Be prepared. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh, God has a way of escape? You mean we're trapped here on this earth and a snare is going to be on the whole earth, but God says, you know, if you watch and you're praying, you might be counted worthy to escape all of these things. Wow. That's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And to stand before the Son of Man. You know, the scripture in talking about the coming of Christ, it says that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. He said, but then it says, but we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Right? Somebody's going all the way through. Amen?
All right, so I'm just gonna back up here. I mean support, not going back somewhere. This whole thing about escaping from the snares. Psalm 71, real quick. It's verses 2-4. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear unto me and save me. Be you my strong habitation, whereunto I continually resort. You have given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. In Psalm 124, it says this. Where is that? Psalm 124, verses 6-8. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. There
is going to be, God is saying that don't look at the way things are outwardly. I will lead you and guide you. Put your trust in me. There's actually an escape from all of these bad, overwhelming things that are going to happen. How much more so for the things that we have to deal with now? Right? But you know what we have to do? We have to be people that are watchful, that are prepared. If you and I are going to be strong and courageous, then we need to be connected with God. It's not just going to happen to the Christians. It's going to happen to those. We got to do what Jesus says. Jesus tells us, watch and pray always, that you might be found worthy to escape these things, because they're coming on the earth. And this isn't here to scare. This is here to encourage us. This is here to say, hey, look, there's a way out. He is our refuge. He is our strength. Let's connect with Him. And no matter what's going on and swirling around us, we will be in a place of peace. We will be in a place of strength. We will be in a place of joy. I hope that's encouraging to you.
Yes.
I'm gonna read this out of 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3 is talking about the coming of Christ, and he says this: looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, whereunto the heavens will be on fire and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. So, looking for and hastening. And that hastening means to be vigilantly prepared for. There's something that we need that's beyond ourselves, that goes beyond the sharing of the gospel, the getting together and just pray. There's something to be prepared for.
And I'll let you search that out. But you know, when we know from the prophets the things that are going to be happening in the world, it should give us some kind of direction on how we should be preparing for things. Because those are the things that are going to happen. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be famines and financial collapses. And there's going to be pestilences. Is there anything that we can do about some of that stuff? Yeah, there is. And you and I need to search what that is so that we're prepared for when those things happen in the world. I know a lot of people just want to say that, well, I just want to be prepared spiritually. Well, I want to be prepared spiritually, hearing enough so that I'm prepared physically for the things that are happening in the world too. Because these are physical things that are going to be happening. You get this? You get it? I want the whole shmeal for all of us. That you see this, that you're that you're ready. I'll just say this and I'm done. You know, this whole thing with the abortion. What can we do? Well, we can pray. But is there anything else that we can do? Because you know what's wrong with the, church at the end of the ages? They're Laodicean. It's lukewarm. It's comfortable. It doesn't want to get out of its comfort zone. And I think we should get out of our comfort zone. You know what else we can do? Yeah, you know, we don't have to become radical, holding up placards and going off. But you know what we can do? You and I can call or write to our representatives and say, we don't want this and we don't want that in this state.
Right.
We are horrified with what's going on. You know, from your heart, let the representatives of this state know, this is not for us. And if there's enough people, they're gonna listen. Because I have to put my name there, and I don't want them to see my name and that I'm saying this. Be strong. Be courageous. You know, let's do where we can. And if you want to do something beyond that, then that's great. But we can't just be... Prayer is important because we see what the results of prayer is. But you know what? Faith without works is dead too. Some things need more than the church only praying. Some things we need to be activated. Don't we?
Yes.
If you hate this abortion thing like I do, then hopefully you'll be motivated. You won't be lukewarm. You'll be motivated to stand up against that evil. Amen?
Yes.
What a message for Super Bowl Sunday, you know?
Go Saints. No way they got me.
Oh. Amen. Lord, we look to you. Lord, we desire to have the fire lit again, that our dry bones would be enlivened by your Spirit, that we would truly prepare the way of the Lord, because we're living as you want us to live, that we're engaged and active and pressing against evil. Reprove darkness, expose the darkness, stand in the gap, as Reggie had said, that we stand there, we intercede. God, stir our hearts, change our minds, renew that new person that you've created in us, that we would go beyond
what would be comfortable for us. We thank you, Lord, today. Help us, Lord, to be strong and very courageous. In Jesus' name, amen.